Chapter 55. The only damage to the Iowa after she slashed through the Molly Bender was a few scrapes to the paint on her bows. Fox had not noticed the slightest bump. He could have averted the tragedy if he had spun the wheel hard to port, but it would have meant swerving the battleship from the deep part of the channel and running her aground. He needed every inch he could squeeze between the riverbed and the Iowa's hull. The months of gutting thousands of tons of non-essential steel had raised the ship from a wartime operational draft of 38 feet to a few inches less than 22, giving Fox a razor-thin margin. Already the great whirling screws were churning up bottom mud that dirtied the Iowa's wake for miles. Fox's countless trips up and down the river in the dark, sounding every foot, marking each channel buoy, each shoal, were paying off. Through the diminishing sleet, he made out the lighted mid-channel buoy off St. Clement's Island, and a minute or two later his ears picked up its sepulchral tolling bell as if it were an old friend. He wiped his sweating hands one at a time on his sleeves. The trickiest part of the run was coming up. Ever since slipping the moorings, Fox had worried about the danger of kettle-bottom shoals. A six-mile section of the river mazed with a network of shallow sandbars that could grip the Iowa's keel and hold her helpless miles from her goal. He lifted one hand from the helm and picked up a microphone. "I want a continuous depth reading." "Understood, Captain," a voice scratched back over a speaker. Three decks below, two of Fox's black crewmen took turns calling up the depths as they appeared on the modified fathometer. They gave their readings in feet instead of the usual fathoms. 26 feet. 25. 24.5. Kettle-bottom Shoals was beginning to make its presence known, and Fox's ham-like hands clenched the spokes of the helm as though they were glued to them. Down in the engine room, Emma made a show of helping the pitifully small crew who were somehow running the huge ship. All were bathed in sweat as they struggled to handle duties that normally took five times their number. The removal of two engines had helped, but there was still far too much to do, particularly when they considered their dual role as engineers and, when the time came, gunners. Not one to become mired in physical labor, Emma made himself useful by passing around gallon jugs of water. In that steaming hell, no one seemed to take notice of his unfamiliar face. They were only too grateful to gulp down the liquid that replaced the body fluids running from their pores in streams. They worked blind, never knowing what was happening on the other side of the hull's steel plates, never remotely aware of where the ship was taking them. All Fox had told them when they boarded was that they were going on a short practice run to shake down the old engines and fire a few rounds from the main guns. They assumed they were heading out of the bay and into the Atlantic. That's why they were stunned when the ship suddenly gave a shudder and the hull began creaking in protest beneath their feet. The Iowa had rammed a shoal. The suction of the mud had drastically cut her speed, but she was still making way. Full ahead came down on the telegraph from the bridge. The two massive shafts increased their mighty revolutions as the engines threw their 106,000 horsepower into the task. The faces of the men in the engine room mirrored confusion and bewilderment. They had thought they were in deep water. Charles Shaba, the chief engineer, hailed the bridge. "Captain, have we run aground?" "Aye, laddie, we've nudged an uncharted bar," Fox's voice boomed back. "Keep pouring it on till we've sailed past." Shaba did not share Fox's optimism. The ship felt as if she were barely maintaining headway. The deck plates beneath his feet vibrated as the engines strained in their mountings. Then, slowly, he sensed their beat smoothing somewhat, as though the screws were biting into new water. A minute later, Fox shouted down from the bridge. "Tell your boys we're free. We're back in deep water." The engine crew tackled their respective duties again, their faces wearing relieved smiles. One oiler began a popular chant, and soon they all took it up in chorus with the hum from the great turbines. Emma did not join in. Only he knew the truth behind the Iowa's strange voyage. In a few hours, the men around him would be dead. They might have been reprieved if the Iowa's flat bottom had remained firmly stuck in the shoal's mud. But it was not to be. Fox was the lucky one, he thought. Damned lucky. So far.